What's the foundation of your church? Well, perhaps you say, we have a real good foundation. It's thick, heavy concrete reinforced with steel. That building will never move. But I don't really mean the foundation of your physical building, your church building. What about the spiritual building, the church? And this is what we've been noticing in Ephesians chapter 2. And let me start reading again with verse 19. He says, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Now, Paul here is speaking about the church made up of all Christians. This church includes people from all ages, from all walks of life, from all races, and from the various generations that have come and gone. The church made up of all Christians. And he says here, we have been brought in with those who were saints before us and are built now upon this common foundation. And we're looking at this foundation. He describes the foundation as the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, let me point out this, that a foundation is laid once, isn't it? We don't go back in and lay foundations over and over again. We need to lay a foundation with great care, with good materials, but once it's laid, it's not repeated. Very vital, though, that it be a good foundation. And I remember one time we were looking at a house. We were thinking of buying it. It was a house that was built on a slab. But we became concerned when we noticed in one place the carpet was higher than in another place. And as we began investigating, we discovered that slab was cracked and it had settled in one area so that the floor was uneven. The foundation was not a good foundation. They built the house apparently on fill or something like this, and it had settled. The foundation was cracked. We didn't buy that house because the foundation is very important. The foundation of the early church was important. It was laid well. It's not to be repeated. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of the New Jerusalem, picturing the saints of God as it comes down out of heaven. And it has 12 foundations, the 12 apostles. So that the scripture does not view this work of apostleship, this unique work of the 12, as something to be repeated or perpetuated. And there is a growing group in this country today which claims to have 12 apostles and claims this is vital for the church. But I want to say that the New Testament knows nothing of this. They were the foundation. They, by their lives, their teaching, their example, the way they organized the early churches, were foundational, but this is not to be repeated. They did their work well, it is laid, and we have their teaching, we have their lives recorded in the scripture, and today, this is enough. And so it's vital when a group begins, a local church begins, as they lay a foundation, as they begin to think of how they're going to meet, what their message is going to be, how they're going to function, that they too lay a good foundation. It's very difficult once you've begun doing things and established certain ways of functioning. It's very hard then to change. It's very hard to change a foundation once you've laid it. You're almost obligated to build on that foundation. So here it's very important when a group begins that they build upon a good foundation, and we believe that the Word of God, giving the example and the teaching of the early apostles, is a foundation churches should be built on today. Many times, you know, churches start, and they start with a foundation that is basically, should we say, denominational practice or polity, and they say, well, we're going to establish our church this way. Why are you going to do this? Well, because that's the way our denomination does things. And there's very little concern about studying the scripture and saying, all right, what does the scripture have to say? What does it teach about how we should meet, how we should function, who should be our leadership? What does God's word have to say? And yet I'm convinced that this is what God intends, and that churches that are built this way will have the most healthy and the best kind of foundation. Now, Jesus Christ is spoken of as the chief cornerstone. A cornerstone is important. Now, I've never laid block or brick or rock. I've never built a house this way. But I have noticed that when people are doing this, I saw a man laying block fairly recently. He was very concerned to get his corners right, to get them square, and to get that cornerstone really set right, because it would determine the squareness, really, of the building. Very important to have a good cornerstone and laid properly. And in this figure, Jesus Christ is described as that cornerstone which will give correctness to the whole structure. If the cornerstone is not right, or if it is missing, nothing else will be straight. Nothing else will be square. And I want to say this, that if a church is not right in their understanding of the person of Jesus Christ and of his work, the whole church will be askew. It won't be square. It won't be right. It simply won't be functioning as a church should. So that here, the person of the Lord Jesus, who is he? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus asked. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that what you believe as an individual? Is that what your church believes? That he is the Son of God? That he's God manifest in the flesh? Do you believe that he's the Messiah? Do you believe that he's the Savior? Do you believe that when he died on the cross, that his death was sufficient to pay for the sins of the whole world, and that all who come to him in simple faith will have their sins forgiven? What do you believe about Christ and what he did on the cross? Do you believe he's risen, physically, bodily risen from the grave? Do you believe he's coming back again to take his people to be with himself and then to set up his kingdom? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and he is vital in the building of a church. If you are not right in your understanding of Christ, his person, and his work, your whole church is off. And I say that in love. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, deity in flesh, if you do not believe that his work on the cross is sufficient atonement, and that only through faith in him you can be saved, then I care not if your church has a beautiful building, and if you are very active in all sorts of social programs, you are basically off on the most important issue of all. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. So that the apostles and the prophets, bringing the word of God, teaching, establishing, giving instruction, are foundational, and Jesus Christ is central in their message. Now, Paul uses a different figure in 1 Corinthians 3. And you remember there, he uses the figure of Christ himself being the foundation. And there he says, I came into Corinth and I started this spiritual building. The first thing I laid was the foundation, and he says Jesus Christ himself was that foundation, the message about Christ. I hear the figure's a little different, but still, Christ is central. Christ is absolutely important. and what you think of Christ, how you respond to Christ, will determine how God will respond to you forever. And so the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. He is the chief cornerstone. Now he describes the temple as growing, as building. And maybe this isn't as familiar to us, but to the Jews of that first century, it was a very familiar concept, because the temple that Herod was rebuilding and that he had started, and that this building that went on over a long period of time, was not something done immediately. But they were building, they were adding, they were restructuring, they were beautifying this structure over a period of years, the building going on. And the temple wasn't just one building. The main temple, of course, was. But then there were various courts and porches and other structures around, all part of this temple area. And here he speaks of the church here as growing. Perhaps we could sort of visualize here the church made up of all Christians, but here local congregations seeking to follow the word, and all of them together forming this great structure made up of all believers. This building is growing. And let me say, there's no work that is greater on earth than working in the building of this temple. Maybe your gift is witnessing and evangelizing in a special way. You are gifted so that you can bring others to the Lord. What a wonderful work. How much needed it is. You have the joy of going out and seeing sinners brought to the Lord and bringing them back to the local fellowship. And there, seeing these rough-hewn stones smoothed and worked and then incorporated into that building. Living stones, Peter calls us. He says, we're living stones, built up a spiritual house. And the one who goes out and evangelizes and brings in people is doing that very vital work of stone masonry, getting stones brought in. And then the teacher, the shepherd, as he works with these Christians, the smoothing, the fitting them into place, and the building grows for the glory of God. It's a habitation for God, a house for God. What a noble concept. A house for God. This is where God lives, in his people, individually, and in the local congregation, and in the church as a whole, made up of all believers, the church of God.